Wendell, if you could, let's go back. You touched upon earlier about your earlier childhood growing up here. Maybe we can go back to that a little bit. What was it like, you know, in your single-digit age and got into high school? Let's talk about Fernandina and what the changes you had seen through that.
When my first memories of Fernandina was the high curbs. My mother and daddy would grab me by my hands and swing me off the curbs and drop me down onto the street. And the old cars and the old tin awnings that used to be on A.S. Allen stores and the shoe stores and all the way down. And the fronts of the buildings would be all glass, and the wares would be inside the glass, and you could see them. And jeans, a sundry, and variety stores down here. And that's where you got all your Batman, Superman.
That would be downtown center?
Downtown Center Street. It's a coffee shop something right now. And the old barbershops, it was Haddock's on that side, Braddock's on this side. And inside Haddock's, there was always a card game in the back room. And the affluent, being there dealing cards. I can't remember the names of the guys. I got my hair cut at Haddock's because he gave a flat top. He gave the best flat top in town. Looked like a landing strip up there. But going back to single digits, I remember feeding the cows at the dairy.
Why don't we start by telling us where your family home was and what it was like?
The family home was on Bonneview Road at the time. The road got named after the dairy by the county commissioner at the time, Dick Goffin. His sons now run Goffin Realty here in town. And we had owned about 60 acres in there, and we gave some to him or sold some to him. My dad and granddaddy did. But he kept about 10 acres there, right where we're at, from Bowles Grocery down to the next curve.
So this is in the Five Points area?
Yeah, Five Points. You go down Bonneview Road, and you go to where Clinch Drive is. And from Clinch Drive down to the next corner, we owned all that frontage area back in there. We used the area across the street, which was the old Burgess house, before they tore it down and made Cash and Circle, or whatever you call it. And that's where we would drive the cows. And I was probably about 4 years old, and they got pictures of me feeding the cows. And got up to about, I guess, about 10 years of age. My memory starts coming back. We had a class that our class was moved into two different classes at our inception. Even though we had 60 people in there, they could only put 30 into a grade because that's all the teachers could handle at the time. The growing up part was very, the life in those days were very simple. Your father worked at the mill. Your mother did not work. My mother baked pies for the Methodist Church at $1 a pie, big pies. And you took piano lessons. And that's what we did. Me and my two sisters took piano lessons.
You said you were the black sheep of Fernandina, that this was the wrong side of the tracks?
When you lived on that side of the tracks, you were not the affluent. Even though we had 10 acres, we had a dairy, we had a restaurant downtown, the affluent lived on the beach area, and in Forest Hills, back when it first came up, and in this area. Now, that's not to say I didn't date any of the girls that were the affluent. I did. I dated all the cheerleaders. And we didn't have all that much money, but we had a good time.
Now, didn't you say earlier that your family, that the land traced back to a Spanish land grant?
It was a Spanish land grant, and I can't remember right now the name of the grant.
A Cashin grant?
It was Cashin Curve. That road that now Bonneville used to be called Cashin Curve, or the old Jacksonville Highway. Mm-hmm. That's how you went to Jacksonville. And right at the end of the road, there was a bridge that you went over all those swamp areas, and that would take you into Jacksonville. And that's how my mother used to come up in a horse and buggy. And it would take her a day to come up there. And as I said before, she was she had graduated in 1927, and she was, at that time they were living in Nassau County, and she was Miss Nassau County. And she just died in 2005 at age 96, which I will probably never achieve. Because I just had open heart surgery, and back surgery, diabetes, high blood pressure. So, anyhow, I remember all the teachers. The teachers were very patient with the kids, and the kids respected the teachers at that time. And whereas today you don't have that. They taught us what we needed to know in life. They just didn't throw us out into the world not knowing about what the world was going to be like. And I remember all my teachers, and I never had a bad one.
Now, when you were a teenager, what did teenagers do for fun?
We made the circle at the beach, the circle at the Frisette, which was on South 8th Street, and made the circle downtown, made the circle at the beach, circle at the Frisette, and the circle downtown. That was our extent. There was alcohol back in those days, but there weren't any drugs. Now, we would get drunk, and we would have our good parties on the weekends, but the drugs, I don't ever remember any drugs being introduced. Of course, the alcohols at that time was the only drug of choice we had. Mm-hmm. My mind's a blank.
Okay. Somebody told me that right now when I think of the beach, I think of off of Fletcher. Somebody told me that there was a road in front of Fletcher.
There was a road in front of Fletcher, and it had houses on it, and over the years, the road and the houses disappeared.
Through beach erosion?
Through beach erosion. The Reefer Road right now is the furthest road that is still existing, but there was, on Reefer Road, there was another road out beyond that. I think there's only one house that's still on stilts, and that belongs to Myron Hammond, or did belong to Myron Hammond's mother and father. It's just south of Center Street, mm-hmm. on Fletcher, on the left-hand side if you're going south. I think that's the last one that's still on stilts that overhangs the dunes. And he's the only reason I remember that, because he's my second cousin. And
now, did your dad work at the mill?
My daddy started working for my grandfather delivering milk when we had the dairy, and then he found out he could make more money at the mill. He was a welder, and he helped build Rainier and Container in their inceptions. And he never really worked at the mills other than that. He became an inspector for the Department of Agriculture years ago, and that's where he eventually retired from. But if you were living in Nassau County, your daddy worked at the mill. Like I said, your mama didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you wanted to, and I don't remember very few women that worked at those times.
Now, for shopping in those days, did you do most of your shopping here on the island, mm-hmm. or did you go to Jacksonville?
We went to May Cohen's once in a while, or it was in those days they were Cohen's, and I remember going through the doors and there was a candy counter there, and that candy smell hit you in the face, and it was so wonderful. Mommy, I want a piece of candy. And they had a bell in there, and that bell would ring. And I don't know what the bell was for, but it had a certain sound that was Cohen's bell. And you had to get candy and listen to the bell while your mama shopped.
And that was in Jacksonville?
Jacksonville.
Uh-huh.
And that was the only, JCPenney. Mm-hmm. Other than that, she shopped here. Lynn's Dress Shop, Parton Shoe Company, and Allen's Store. That's where you bought all your clothes and your shoes. For everybody that was here, unless you had the money to go over and spend a little bit more money over there.
Now, what was the island like south of Saddler Road at the time?
South of Saddler Road was nothing but trees. Saddler Road, up until the Mion Plantation moved in, there was only three houses on Saddler Road. I was trying to think of the guy's name, but almost had it. Jackie, it's down on the right-hand side. It's the only house down there now, just before you get to the beach on the right, Cedar River on the right-hand side.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember his name. But there was nothing down there except him. And everybody else lived in the subdivision or right here. And the south end was nothing. I mean, you could go to the south. That's where we used to have our drag races. And until chief deputies found out about it, we got caught one night. I got caught. We got hauled up in front of Sheriff Youngblood, and he reamed us out, and he called my daddy, and my daddy come up, picked me up. The other guy, daddy come pick me up. We got a whipping.
Yeah.
Driving my new car down. What's the matter with boy?
But now Franklintown,
yes,
and American Beach were there at,
mm-hmm,
the time. And
right.
Did people from the city go down to American Beach at all?
No. That was a black beach. This was a white beach.
What, yep, about the blacks in Fernandina? Did they go down there?
The what?
No, did you not know whether they did or not?
The blacks went down there.
Yeah.
Okay. That was their beach. And there was the only incident I remember up here is when I was probably 7 years old down here at the restaurant, and my granddaddy got a call from Chef Youngblood, there's some black people at the white beach. We need to go run them out. And that was my first taste of racism, and I didn't know what it was at the time. And we all went down there, or he put me in the car because he was in charge of me at the time, and we went down there, and I didn't see anybody. But I saw all these white hoods. And that was my first taste of racism and notation of the Klan. And that's the only time I ever saw the Klan in Nassau County, just that one day. And the rest of it, I've heard about it on the west side, rumors of it, but I never saw it again.
Well, that's interesting because Jacksonville was pretty big with the Klan.
They were very clannish over there. That,
yeah,
was the outpost over there. But I think it was one of my best friends lived on Clinch Drive, and he was a black guy. Well, there was two of them down there. One of them was named Bullet, and he went to Vietnam, and he got killed. And the other one used to race stock cars. We had a drag strip out here. C.C. McKendry, which was the sheriff's brother, started a drag strip. We started racing on the beach down here. Called ourselves the Barrel Busters. We'd run around two barrels at one end. We built our own cars from scratch. And we had a good time down there. And then when we opened up the drag strip, we had Don Gartlett's, Don Prudhomme, all of the big dragsters came in down there because it was the longest stretch in Florida for a drag strip. And it was a north-south runway we used.
Now, and that was where the airport is today?
Where the airport is today.
Mm-hmm.
The farthest strip over. There wasn't very much. That's where the Civil Air Patrol originated also. I was in the Civil Air Patrol, and we had what they call SARCAP, Search and Rescue Mission. And we would go down the beach, and when those two planes collided out here off of American Beach one time, two jets hit, and they were destroyed immediately. And we went down for search because there was no rescue. And the stuff that was floating up on the beach, we were picking all the parts of the planes up, and Air Force was down there. And I had taken some of it. I thought it was foam and put it across my shoulder. And he said, "You can put that in that body bag there." And I said, "Excuse me? What you mean? You're going to put foam in a body bag?" He said, "No, that's part of the pilot."
Mm-hmm.
And they shredded when he hit, and there was a part of the pinky, and I got sick. That was my last SARCAP.
Yeah.
Wow. It hurt me a whole lot.
What was, you talked about having some black friends, about what was the ratio of blacks to whites on the island? Do you know? Have any idea?
I don't know what the ratio was, but my black friends ratio was like 2 to 20. I was friends with everybody.
Uh-huh.
The deputy sheriff, Lawrence Alberti, Lawrence Alberti, who just died within the last 10 years, he was at the hospital. He was a head of security at the hospital after he left the sheriff's department. We were very close. we watch each other's back, and nobody hurt me and nobody hurt him. We took care of each other. There was a camaraderie there that, being a police officer, that other people can't understand the camaraderie. A police officer has a family of officers, and they don't have anybody that comes over to their house, like, socialize, because they have to set themselves apart. Because Walter Sturgis, who's my son-in-law, arrested my uncle for DWI and didn't know it was my uncle. Now, I'm not saying he would not have done it. I can't say that. But he's, even though my uncle's been dead 25 years, he still feels bad about it. But you have to distance yourself to be a police officer, because you're going to have to put friends in jail at one time or another if you're active and if you abide by the law.
Now, when you said that your family had a restaurant downtown Fernandina, what was the name of the restaurant?
It was the Bonneville Restaurant.
The Bonneville Restaurant, and that was on 2nd Street?
It was on Front Street, on Atlantic Avenue, right next to the Palace Saloon.
Oh.
Well, not next to it, it's the next building over. The building, the newest building they built in the center, it's back one this way. And we had what they call the Royal Reds. And you don't see them anymore. They're shrimp. They're about this long. They're about a pound a piece. And we used to serve them there. I remember those. And I remember we had the black cooks in the back, and that's who did the cooking. And my grandmother would bring chowder and everything out to the patrons of the restaurant. And we had, there was a restaurant called Nell's Kitchen right at the intersection at Five Points. We owned Five Points area. We had a Nell's Kitchen there. And some of the affluent, some of the older families' daughters worked there as waitresses, and we still have pictures of them. And that's when they moved out of there. We went to the dairy, and then they sold the dairy. Then they moved down here to open a restaurant, and then after that, my granddaddy got so bad he couldn't do it anymore. So he sold the restaurant, and it's been turned into 6 or 7 different places since it's been down there.
Now, did you buy your shrimp right from the shrimpers?
Right off the docks, right from the shrimpers. And I still do sometimes. I'll come down and I'll catch a shrimp boat. It's hard to find a shrimp boat nowadays because everything is pushing it out now.
I know that there aren't very many shrimp boats now, but when you were younger, how many shrimpers would you say were operating down there?
There was at least 50 to 60 boats, and they're 70 foot long. And right back over here was the shrimp boat building yard, by the Tringalli's and the Dionysus. They built the boats that went out on the river to out miles to catch the shrimp. And they were some of the best boat builders that ever came down the pike. We were the first boats to put in the what they call the turtle extruder. It would let the turtles out, but it'd keep the shrimp in. I don't know how they did it, but this was the first place when the law came out.
Just going back to the early days again, quickly, what were the fun things to do for you in your teens, early teens? You know, was there a batting cage, a roller skating rink, mini golf, favorite ice cream shop, anything like that at all that you had for fun?
Movie theater.
We had the Allen Theater, which was an old World War II bunker. Mm-hmm. It's sitting down there where there's a gas station on Atlantic going out just before the water tower there. That's where it's at. And you go there on a Sunday, and if you were a junior or less, you'd sit on the right-hand side of the theater. If you were a senior, you would sit on the left-hand side of the theater. And I was so glad when I became a senior I could sit over with the big boys. And like I said, the Frisette at the time, Main Beach. What was the other thing you asked?
Batting cages, roller skating rinks.
No, we had what they call the rec center out there. But it was the Mia Allen Youth Organization, and I was president of it one time.
Oh, wow.
And I really don't remember what president did that time, other than we went out there, we had dances, we had St. Peter's Parish had dances up here, and we would have a pair of suppers up there, and there wasn't too much to do other than girls.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
Wasn't there some kind of a recreation facility out at Main Beach? Was it Moore's or?
There was an arcade out there. It was called the, it's Sandy Bottom now, I think, and I'm not sure what it was called then. But there was a bar there, and across from that bar, back in the early years, there was a casino on the left-hand side. It was a bowling, and I remember it vaguely. I was going in and bowling games. My granddaddy went in there. And then after that disappeared, there was an arcade come up. And it's always been something out there for kids. They got put out there now, but it's not like it used to be. You could go out there for hours. They had minstrel shows. My daddy and my uncle were in the minstrel shows, blackface. And they just, yeah, there wasn't much for a teenager to do around in those days. I mean, you grew up, and a lot of them moved away. I stayed here. Half my class moved somewhere else. Half of them stayed here. You don't get them to stay here anymore. They're gone like the wind.
Did air conditioning make a big difference?
We had no air conditioning.
No air conditioning.
We had no air conditioning. I remember the first air conditioner my daddy had in the car, a 1962 Ford, and there was a Freon smell that stayed in there the whole time. But it was nice and cool. You stayed cool.
I'm not sure, I don't remember the dates on this, but I know that at one point the island was not connected to the mainland by a fixed bridge. There was a bridge that moved.
There was a drawbridge.
A drawbridge.
Yeah, there was a drawbridge right where the new bridge is that goes over the Amelia River. And they stopped that 30 years ago, I guess.
So fairly recently.
Yeah, the best I remember, I know that when I was a deputy sheriff, I was going to a call one night, and I had to wait for the bridge to come down. And I don't remember, that was 70. I not only worked the jail, I worked the road too. This was because I was driving the chief deputy's car, and that was Johnny Bodine's car. I was taking it out there to him. This was probably 76. And then they started, right after they started construction on that big bridge, it took about a year and a half to get it. But yes, we were isolated. That was the only way off the bridge. Then later on, they put the toll bridge in down south end of the island.
Now, the big politician locally was Sandy MacArthur.
Sandy.
Did you ever meet him or have any stories about him?
Sandy, I met him. I understand that he was big at Rainier. He was the one that procured all the timber for Rainier. And on each cord, he got a certain amount of money. And because he incepted all of this and mostly started the paper mills. He died a few years back, but I met him one time, but I don't know much about him other than this is what I heard. And I believe that because there's a lot of people that they would bring in cords of wood and they get so much per cord, like 25 cents or 10 cents per cord, and then that's all they did because they had already procured the lumber for the mills. And this was their pay for it. And some of them come out really, really good. Made a lot of money on it. Because there's so much, they have to have so much wood to make the paper. I worked at Container Corporation as a timber scaler. And the rail cars that would come in, I would go out and measure. And I used to be able to actually look at a car and tell you how many cords of wood's on there and how many cooks it would take to make so much paper. And I worked at Rainier for a while, and the mill job just wasn't for me. I could not take that. I was a different animal.
Now, you said earlier that today you work as a stevedore.
Mm-hmm.
Did you work as a stevedore at the Port of Fernandina?
Mm-hmm. I was there at its inception.
And when was that?
This was in 85, 84, something like that. I was working at Buccaneer Moving and Storage, who owned the property down there. Art Williams on the property, and I was a truck driver, delivery guy, warehousing, storage and stuff like that. And when he sold out, it was a couple years later, I went over after they got the thing built, and I started working down there as just an employee, driving forklifts and stuff like that, loading ships.
Mm-hmm. I understand there was a fair amount of controversy when the port was established here.
A lot of people didn't want that area to be renovated, you might say. They didn't want the change. There was a lot of opposition, mostly from the people that wanted to keep the old houses intact, because there were some houses that were torn down. That, like I said, that used to be the red light district, and that's where Youngblood would go down all the time and clean it up, you might say. There was one old lady down there that up until just before they bought that land, I'd take her fish down there, and I'd give her three or four fish when I'd go fishing on the beach. And she stayed in there until when she died, they took over. They bought her place, and then they started buying this way. And then they made the house up on the hill into their office. I can't remember the name.
The Merrill House.
Yeah. And my wife worked for a line who took care of the Chogyang Center lines when they come in. She was the agent over here. That's how I met her. That's that one there. That'd be her. And that was 1990-1991, and then I went to Jacksonville. It was a Stephen Shipping over there for about 8 years, and I moved to, she got a transfer to Fort Lauderdale or to Miami, and I got a job in Fort Lauderdale with Crowley Lines, and I've been there ever since. Hopefully I can retire this year, maybe next year. I'm not sure. I'd love to. I want to come back so bad. I've hated it ever since I've been down there. Now the people are great sometimes. The weather is wonderful, but the traffic down there is horrendous. But up here, I come back and I just calm out. I love it up here. I could live anywhere.
But have you noticed so much change? I mean,
the change is coming in from 17 on A1A. I just get sick. It looks like Jacksonville. There's lights on both sides all the way in. I don't know where I'm at.
But Center Street or Fletcher seems pretty much the same to you?
They're pretty much the same. There's been some construction out there, but that's to come along with any progress that you have. Center Street has been like that ever since they changed. And this hadn't changed in a long time. I wish they'd have left the street in there for the parking on the side, and they come off each one. Each one of the buildings with the tin shed that used to be there, they'd have the tin overflow and come down, and the poles. My granddaddy would come in. He had a 1946 Chevrolet. He would come in and hit a pole every time he'd park. And every one of those poles, I think he hit. But they didn't ever take them down. They just came out, bent them back out.
Now, do you have any stories about the old Welcome Center at the waterfront?
I remember the Welcome Center, and I went in there a couple of times. But other than that, I had no contact with the Welcome Center.
How about Shrimp Fest?
I was one of the first officers that worked the Shrimp Fest when it first came, the first year, up till the whole time I was here until I left. It progressed from a drinking attitude. They would sit up there in a circle and smoke pot, and you'd come down there and move them along or put them in jail, whatever. But it's progressed from that to a art gallery, and basically that's where all of them are going now. There's the drinking is still there undercover. You can't ever stop that, and you still can't stop the drugs that are smoked out there. But generally, this one is very calm now. I've been up here a few times, but the first 15, I was an officer out there, and it was harrowing sometimes. You didn't know what to expect. You'd have people going down. We had one guy here in the jail. That's my last jail story. he was in jail every weekend. Well, he come in, they brought him in jail one time. He had gone down and wrapped himself up in tape, like a mummy. And he ran through the woman's club exhibit, stole the cash box, and run off. But they caught him. It unraveled as he was running. They grabbed it. He fell over. He's in jail. And one of the affluent families from Nassau County.
You don't suppose maybe a little alcohol was at work?
Could have been.
Okay. Well, we're about to conclude the interview, the Heritage Keepers interview. I'd like to take a moment just to say thanks so much. Wendell, you're our first, and it was an outstanding interview.
Well, you know, there's a lot of... I could have categorized it. I could have gone in a lot, you know, timeline, but at my age, sometimes that doesn't work. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all. You've been a great interviewer. It's just something I've never been done before. It's never come up. And, you know, I've been coming here for years, and I've come up, and I said, well, why don't you have me listed as a chief jailer here? And this, we don't know. Your name's not anywhere in here.
Oh, wow.
And this year I decided to get the information to bring up. She decided to bring the information up so I'd be remembered in 100 years. Who's going to care?
Well, you will. Now you're on record.
Now I'm on record. Thank you so much.
On behalf of the museum, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you very much.
Outstanding.
I appreciate it.